BBC News with Roy Lama. Voting in the first Palestinian parliamentary election for a decade is due to end about now. For the first time, the Islamic militant group Hamas has been taking part and is expected to make a strong showing. The atmosphere has been calm, with rival parties campaigning alongside each other. James Reynolds reports.
More than 1 million Palestinians had the right to vote in this election, their first parliamentary vote in a decade. International observers suggest that the turnout was high and that voting went ahead without any major incidents. So now it's on to the counting. The ruling Fatah party will wait to find out whether or not it's managed to see off a challenge from the armed Islamic movement Hamas, which is taking part in its first national election. Official exit polls are expected to be released soon, but it may be 2 weeks before the final results are announced.
An independent Palestinian candidate, Hanan Ashrawi, said it was unlikely that either Hamas or the Fatah party of President Mahmoud Abbas would win enough votes to form a government by themselves.
It's clearly a polarized situation. Two major blocs, but they are going to need to enter into some coalitions with the smaller blocs that are entering. If Hamas manages to enter into that coalition to form a government, then of course it will mean a total transformation of Palestinian society and of Palestinian politics, with serious ramifications for the whole region.
This is Europe Today with me, Audrey Carvel, on the BBC World Service. The polls have closed in the first Palestinian parliamentary elections for 10 years. Nearly 1.5 million people were entitled to vote in the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem. These elections are extremely significant because for the very first time, the militant Islamic group Hamas is fielding candidates and is posing a real threat to the governing Fatah party, which is seen by many Palestinians as ineffective and corrupt. If Hamas is successful, it could end up being part of the ruling Palestinian Authority. Live now to the West Bank town of Ramallah and my colleague Roger Hearing. Roger, how powerful will this new parliament be?
Well, in the past, it hasn't been that powerful, mainly because, Audrey, they've got this problem with having one party in effect in power. Fatah has dominated everything. What will happen now is anybody's guess, but if Hamas is in there, technically the powers of this parliament are that they can issue legislation, oversee the executive, and indeed when the president has chosen a prime minister and a government, that government and prime minister have to be approved by the parliament. So potentially it could be very powerful indeed. It's really a change in the nature of a state from a one-party state to a multi-party democracy, possibly. That's a long way ahead. But it has been a fascinating day, I have to say, of people really enthusiastic, trying to vote, knowing that this is their chance, and it comes rarely to the Palestinians, it has to be said, to have a direct say in the way they're governed. I've been here in Ramallah, of course, and we also went down to Jericho in the Dead Sea area, one of the key areas in this election, however, because Hamas is very strong there, but it's also the seat and base of Saeb Erekat, one of the best-known Palestinian politicians, a leading member of Fatah. It's possible that he could be unseated in this election, which would be a terrible blow for Fatah. I spoke to a number of electors who were queuing up to go into the polling station, including Jaffa Saeed, he's an accountant, and Amal Faraj, she's an English teacher. And I began by asking Jaffa, what had he voted?
I vote for Mr. Saeb.
Saeb Erekat, who's the Fatah leader, of course, yes. Some people have suggested that he might lose a bit in this election because of Hamas. Do you think that's possible?
No, I don't think so.
Why did you vote then for Fatah?
I vote for Saeb because he's the man that can lead us for, inshallah, a good state.
Do you think he's done well so far, he and his Fatah colleagues?
He is a good man and he deal with the Israelis before. So he know how can make the bitter for us with the Israelis.
And Amal Faraj, what do you think? What did you vote today?
I don't deny that Saeb is a very good man for Jericho. He's been working through the years to make a better society in Palestine and in Jericho. After all, I'm very happy for the elections.
Did you vote for Saeb Erekat yourself?
I have just said that he's a good man, he's worked hard to make a better future for us, and for all the Palestinians. I wish him the best and good luck. And for the proportional elections, I'm happy to say that after all, now the parliament will make the decisions for all the people to be satisfied.
But that parliament might now have a number of Hamas people in it. Is that a good thing, do you think?
I don't say it is good to have Hamas, excuse me, but I say it's good for the parliament to express the people's opinions.
Amal Faraj speaking to me there in Jericho a little earlier. Well, now, of course, as we say, the polls have closed, and I'm back in Ramallah, which is effectively the Palestinian capital, and it's also been the base for the hundreds of international observers who've been keeping an eye on the way in which this election has been carried out. With me is Matthias Eick, in fact, of the European Union's observation mission. Matthias, has it been a good election, a well-run election, as far as you can see?
Well, first of all, today we went from the post offices in Jerusalem right through to the refugee camp in Ramallah, down to Hebron, and also to Bethlehem. And as I'd like to echo your words, it was a fascinating election. Many people outside queuing up, high turnover. There was a real buzz in the air. And technically, the preparation of the elections were actually quite good. I mean, even given all the problems that were during before the election, the campaign period started, the Central Election Commission had their people out there educating the voters how to vote. There were NGOs training their observers. So even in those areas like, for instance, Gaza, where people are saying there's this image of chaos, but actually on the ground, there were people actually really working very hard towards these elections.
But were there also incidents? Were there any moments where you thought perhaps this wasn't as well run as it could have been?
Well, we were more worried in the pre-election phase, given the fact that the question of East Jerusalem voting and the fact that the Israelis did not want this to happen because of the Hamas participation, we thought it was a much bigger threat. On the day itself, we've had maybe two or three yet unconfirmed reports of incidents. Given the fact that there's more than 3,000 polling stations out there, I think this is remarkable.
And very briefly, I know it's not really your brief necessarily, can the EU live with the position of Hamas possibly being in the future government?
Well, first of all, we will respect the choice that the Palestinian people will make. We as an election observation have been in contact with Hamas on purely technical level. And I think one will have to see now what the policies or what the how the Hamas will participate in the parliament and in the functioning of the government. And then one can say how one will deal with this new government.
Matthias Eick, thank you. Well, that issue is, of course, key. And Hamas has seemed to be very popular. We don't actually have the results as yet as to how they've done, but the indications are they have done well. Why are they then so popular amongst many of the Palestinian people? Well, my colleague Katya Adler has been to a Hamas-run village in Beita near Nablus.
The tiny hilltop village of Beita is a hive of activity. There's building work everywhere. Here a new road, there new shops. A cemetery is under construction here, and opposite the road is a brand new school. All thanks to the local mayor, Arab al-Shurafa. The villagers here say he's achieved more in 1 year than his predecessor in a decade. Arab al-Shurafa is a member of the armed Islamic group Hamas. I've come to meet Beita's mayor at the village's open-air fruit and vegetable market. He's surrounded by stallholders, all thanking him for the improvements he's made to their workplace. This isn't the image the outside world tends to have of Hamas. But here, amongst Palestinians, the group is as much associated with social work and an anti-corruption drive as for suicide bombings against Israel. So what does Mayor Arab al-Shurafa think sets him apart from his predecessor, from Fatah, the party that's dominated Palestinian politics for decades?
When I became mayor, I agreed to work for the people. That's my job. I've dealt with corruption and crime. Under me, everyone's equal, rich or poor.
The Marai family has benefited directly from the new mayor of Beita. Their isolated house, tucked away amongst the olive groves, never used to have water or electricity. Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Well, walking into the kitchen, you can see the water and electricity in full use, the tap running and a pot bubbling on the stove.
We did have electricity and water before, but we had to get it ourselves, illegally. Then the new mayor was elected and our problems were solved. He uses our taxpayers' money to improve services. It wasn't like that with the previous mayor. So we'll now be voting Hamas in these parliamentary elections, even though this family has always supported Fatah in the past.
Partly because of its involvement in local government then, and partly because of its charity network throughout the Palestinian territories, Hamas has become increasingly popular. Public opinion polls indicate it's all but guaranteed a large chunk of the vote in today's parliamentary election.
A Hamas song ending that report by my colleague Katia Adler. And in the few coming hours, of course, we will get to know whether or not Hamas have had a breakthrough in this. The exit polls are very accurate here, apparently, and they should be out perhaps within the next couple of hours. Anyway, for the moment, that's it from us here in Ramallah. Back to you in the studio in London.
Roger, hearing reporting there. Well, if Hamas does well in this election, it will pose problems for Western governments, which currently give millions of dollars every year to the Palestinian Authority. The EU, the US and the UN all regard Hamas as a terrorist organization. But if it becomes part of the ruling authority, will the dollars stop flowing until it lays down its weapons? And what about its stated aim to destroy Israel? Well, I've been speaking to Hannes Svoboda, an Austrian MEP and member of the Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee. Did he want Hamas to do well in these elections?
What I want is Hamas doing well in the peace process, adapt themselves to go the way of finding a compromise and finding a solution. That's absolutely necessary. So if Hamas does well in a limited way, that it is involved in the whole civil process and not only doing terrorist activities, then this could help the peace process in the Middle East.
If they do well enough to secure a place in the Palestinian Authority, should they have to give up their weapons and forego their aim of destroying Israel before they can join that authority?
Well, they should give up the weapon. The question is if that is feasible. I think they should give up fighting. That they have perhaps some weapons in reserve, we will not prevent. But they should give up fighting. And what is more important, they should make it clear that the existence of Israel is no longer doubted. They don't want to throw the Israeli citizens and the Jews into the sea.
But if Mahmoud Abbas invites them to be part of his cabinet and they accept without giving up their violence, should the EU withdraw its funding for the Palestinian Authority?
Well, I would be very, very careful because we can radicalize the whole situation. I don't think that just refraining from supporting the Palestinians will be helpful. I would say we should observe the situation. We should make it clear that if Hamas doesn't change the attitude towards Israel and the policies, that this could happen. And then finally, also, we should do it, but not from the beginning.
But that position of the European Union, if it is, as you say, would not make any sense because on the one hand, the EU is saying that any group like Hamas, which is threatening death and destruction in Israel, should not be part of the Palestinian Authority. And yet you would continue to fund that authority if Hamas was there.
Well, I think the people have to decide if this is a way to bring Hamas in the whole process of trying to find a peace. Finally, it could be helpful. It's not a moral question, it's a practical political question. And if there is a violation, if Hamas is not keeping its promises, then of course we have to act. But the same was true already with Arafat. Also here, we had, not only we, but also Israel had a very, let's say, ambiguous position in many times because we spoke with Arafat, we spoke with the al-Fatah on the whole, you know, trying to find the peace process, which is viable. And on the other hand, we have the situation that many terrorist activities were going on, not only by Hamas.
Hannah Svoboda there, and you can keep up to date with the very latest on the Palestinian election, the results and the analysis on our website, bbcnews.com.
Armed supporters of the Palestinian movement Fatah, which lost heavily in this week's legislative elections, have been staging angry protests, calling for their leaders to resign. Thousands of people took part in a march in Ramallah, and parliament buildings there and in Gaza were occupied. However, a member of the outgoing cabinet, Mazen Simakrat, said he was confident that people would soon adapt to the new political situation.
Definitely that was not easy for Fatah Party to accept change in a very quick manner. But I think things will be much better in the very near future. I'm very much optimistic that the Palestinians have always adapted themselves to change and they have accepted democracy, and definitely they'll accept the results and they will live with it.
And in Ramallah and Gaza City, armed members of Fatah, the party defeated in the Palestinian elections, have been protesting, demanding Fatah leaders now resign. Live to our correspondent, Katya Adler, who's in Ramallah. Katya, what's been happening?
Well, there's been bubbling trouble in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. There were hundreds of activists from the Palestinian Fatah movement protesting here in Ramallah and in Gaza as well against their leaders following the Fatah party slap in the face at the polls this week. In Ramallah, gunmen fired into the air and stormed the parliament building, and they've asked for their leaders to resign. They've actually threatened to kill party members planning to join a Hamas government. There were also clashes today between Fatah activists and Hamas supporters. A number of people were injured, and security officers officers loyal to Fatah have warned there would actually be death on the streets if Hamas tried to take them over. Now, leaders of both the Fatah and Hamas parties have tried to calm down the trouble. Marwan Barghouti, who headed Fatah's national list in the election, said there should be a smooth transition of power. And Hamas's leader in exile, Khaled Mashal, appealed for unity. He spoke from Damascus today. He said he wants a partnership formula for Palestinians' new administration. He said that Hamas has succeeded in the past in armed resistance, and he now promised it would succeed in politics and reform.
Katya Adler in Ramallah for that update. Thank you.
Madam Secretary, how surprised were you? Hamas has won a big victory. Some people are calling it a stunning victory. How surprised were you, and is the ball in their court?
Well, these are the first really free and fair elections for a Palestinian legislature, and I think the results were somewhat unexpected. But it just shows that I think the Palestinian people took full advantage of their democratic opportunity. They voted in incredible numbers, maybe 80% is one of the estimates. And they also clearly voted for change. They wanted a new kind of government, and we respect that. I do think that it bears saying that any government for the Palestinian people is also going to have to deal with what I believe are their deep aspirations for a peaceful life. And we believe that that peaceful life can only be attained for Palestinians and Israelis through a two-state solution. And obviously, to have a two-state solution, you have to recognize the right of the other side, of Israel in this case, to exist. You have to renounce violence and terrorism. You have to disarm militias. Those are obligations that Palestinians have undertaken, and the international community will expect those obligations to be met.
Just as a follow-up, given Hamas's position on dealing with Israel and Israel's position dealing with Hamas, not to mention the U.S. position on Hamas, is the peace process either dead or is it at least on the shelf for a good while now?
Well, we will see, because the Palestinian people, I do think, voted for change, and I think they voted for government that perhaps would not bear the scars of corruption of the last 10 years, the Arafat period. But I'm quite certain that they retain their aspirations to have a peaceful life. And so the international community is going to be prepared to move forward on the roadmap. But moving forward on the roadmap means that you have to acknowledge the right of Israel to exist. It means that you have to renounce violence and terrorism. And it really does mean that you cannot have one foot in terror and one foot in politics. So there will be some choices that Hamas has to make.
So you won't join the prediction that U.S.-sponsored peace efforts will have to be shelved for a while?
Well, I think the president said it best today. He said peace is never dead. Peace always has a chance when there are people who want to pursue peace. But the terms on which peace can be pursued are very clear. I just was on a phone call with members of the quartet. The United Nations, Russia, the European Union, and the United States form the quartet for Middle East peace. And we were in firm agreement that the Palestinian people deserve a peaceful future. They deserve the kind of peaceful future that the roadmap can give them. But any government is going to have to be committed to those principles of the roadmap.
So you'll still offer the roadmap. Now, we're hearing from some Arab moderates that the U.S. and Israel blew it, that over the past 14 months since Yasser Arafat's death, that maybe the U.S. and Israel should have done more to help President Abbas. Did the U.S. blow it?
Well, I've heard a number of Palestinians say that, Palestinian Fatah say that they have to assess what this means about their relationship to the Palestinian people. I think this was about governance. I think this was an issue of the legacy that Yasser Arafat left of corruption and violence. After the Gaza withdrawal, unfortunately, the Palestinian Authority was unable to establish even simple law and order. And I think for the Palestinian people, this was unacceptable.
Did we help as much as we could have?
I think that the United States did a lot. I can remember, I think Charlie may have even been with me, when we negotiated the Rafah Agreement on freedom of movement, when the Israelis withdrew from Gaza, giving the Palestinian people freedom of movement. But this isn't a time to try and assess in any sense blame. The Palestinian people went to the polls. They want to change. But I'm quite sure that what they don't want changed is their chance for a peaceful solution. And that's only going to come through the establishment of two states.